I think every person who lives with sight loss has that thing said to them all the time.
A white cane sweeping the ground.
You don't look blind. Well, you know, what does blindness look like?
Dave, a bald white man with a beard, is walking to a football field with his son, Austin. Our lives.
So, I've got one for us.
Streaming on BBC iPlayer now as part of the Our Lives series is the film I'll Never See, a documentary from director and filmmaker Matt Hopkins about the blind poet Dave Steele and his family and the journey they all go on as Dave's retinitis pigmentosa progresses to the point of the loss of his remaining useful vision. Matt followed Dave for 3 years, and both Matt Hopkins and Dave Steele join me now.
My name's Dave Steele. I'm known as the Blind Poet, and I, for the last 10, 11 years now, have been using poetry as a way to explain the realities of living with sight loss. And a lot of people use my poetry as a way for them to explain to other people how they feel.
So the film I'll Never See is 3 years in the life of Dave Steele, the blind poet.
Director and filmmaker Matt Hopkins.
It basically documents his journey from having limited vision to no useful vision at all. I think when you explain that to people, it can sound like a very sad story that people might not want to engage in, but it's kind of anything but that. It's more of a story of a family coming together against the adversity they face.
When you have low vision, you have a little bit of sight that actually doesn't work properly. That's really hard for people to kind of get their heads around and understand.
So close. Keep it there. You ready?
Come on, Dad.
Is this hitting?
Is it?
Nope.
Austin hits the goal's crossbar with the ball.
So I have retinitis pigmentosa, and I've been losing my sight progressively for quite some time now.
Right, where'd it go?
Dad, so turn around.
Uh-huh.
And then it's just a bit to the right.
Even being able to see kind of what I can see today, that little bit, is at the last stage as well, so every day to me is seeing things potentially for the last time.
It was about 3 years ago when I first heard Dave's story, and I got straight in the car, drove up to Manchester, and just started talking to Dave without a camera at first, and started hearing about his story. And we started filming kind of quite soon after that, but we realised it's a film that's going to be told over a long period of time. Dave can probably speak best to this, but you don't just lose your sight overnight. So it was a film where we had to be really patient. And it was a film where small changes over time create big kind of story beats. And the fact that I live the other end of the country today, but I live in Brighton. So I basically come up every so often with a camera, and I'd obviously notice these changes in Dave's vision probably a lot more profoundly if I was like in his life on a day-to-day basis.
The whole premise came from that idea of what's it like to lose the last part of your sight. I think a lot of people, when they're diagnosed with any kind of sight loss, spend far too much time worrying about what it's going to be like if they get to the stage where they can't see the family's faces anymore. So I wanted to show a real honest account of actually what that's like and how as humans we all adapt and how it affects not just the person but the whole family.
Were they involved from the start?
Yeah, 100%. It was a decision we kind of all made together. You know, obviously they're well aware of the work that I do, you know, in my kind of realm as a blind poet, and my wife now works within the sight loss community as a children and young persons enablement officer for a charity. They were kind of all in that this story needed to be told, that families as well as, you know, people going through this need that kind of mainstream representation, and actually how we don't have a real honest account of what sight loss is like in mainstream. Quite often when they show blindness, they show it in a very kind of dumbed down way to sell a story very quickly. It's very much playing to the stereotypes and reinforces that you don't look blind aspect that a lot of people get asked. So we wanted to, you know, show a real honest account and show something that's really rare on TV these days, and that's definitely the feedback that we've been getting from people that have watched it so far. That is life. It's ups and downs, it's good days and bad days, and we wanted to be really honest with that. And actually, you know, as much as there are those moments that are really raw in it emotion wise there's some really great kind of humor in it as well, and the way we deal with things as a family. And that was one of the great things about Matt and the production company and all the crew that worked on it, is they really managed to capture us as we are as a family. There was no acting, you know, there's no setting up of scenes. It was us as life was playing out. And that, you know, that is a really rare thing to see.
Matt, what has the making of the film taught you about accessibility?
That's, a really interesting question. So I came to the film with little to no knowledge of sight loss. I think the access point for me was David posted an Instagram story and saying, I'm losing the last of my sight. And that obviously triggered, I just never almost probably engaged with sight loss before this. So I was really starting from kind of no knowledge. And I think the first time I came up, I just, you know, would go for a walk with Dave and we'd walk around with Christopher, his guide dog, and have a cane. And I was like, so is Christopher with you the whole time? I was asking all those stupid questions, I guess. And over time, I think the big thing I've learned is that accessibility should be part of every facet of life. You know, it's not just about getting somewhere on a bus and, you know, you being able to access that. It comes to the digital world as well with the way you interact. It kind of just pops up in the kind of areas you really wouldn't expect. And I think this is what I think was almost so important about me as somebody without knowledge or not huge knowledge of sight loss about making the film. I think I wanted to make sure people without sight loss could understand this. And this, going back to your previous question, this was like a big reason for the involvement of a family. We can all relate to families. I'm a father as well. So I think it's important to try and engage with our audience on those themes that are universal. And that's the access point for trying to understand what sight loss is really like.
Talking about accessibility and understanding, what sort of research did you do in order to recreate the illusion of sight loss on the screen? You know, you're recreating what Dave could see at the time.
I think that was all. It was all from conversations with Dave. Like, Dave, you'd shown me quite a few times these apps you have, which can recreate that feeling of RP. So you open your phone and there's an app there, and the image will suddenly, you know, it'll have this black vignette around it. But I'd spent time with Dave in so many different scenarios that I thought, okay, I had an idea of what it would be. But obviously, I think the intention to do that on camera and do it in the room and really understand, and so Dave can tell us this is what it's like, that was really important, because I'll never know, you know, I'll never truly know what that's like. So I really wanted Dave to lead on that aspect of it, especially.
The thing is, as well, one of the things that's really difficult is, and I was explaining this to Matt, and I remember when I explained this to Matt, it kind of blew his mind a little bit, was when you get that representation of, say, something like RP on a screen where they show that tunnel, it's very well done within the film. But one of the things that's really hard to kind of put across is they always show like a tunnel, but then obviously the rest of the screen's black. Now, for someone with that sight loss like myself, you haven't got like black in your vision and then this tunnel. The blackness isn't there. And just explaining that to people is really hard for them to get their heads around, that, you know, you haven't got this kind of black area in your sight. It's just not there.
Yeah, that blew everyone's mind.
There are plenty of shots of Dave around the table or at football matches, but there are also lots of shots, Matt, of Dave on his own from a distance. Was that to highlight the sort of isolation?
I mean, definitely. I think there's a real duality I came to learn about Dave's life, where it could either be all go, and this isn't just this is part of Dave's life, I think, anyway. Speaking for you, Dave, like, you know, you're a very busy person, and it can be 100 miles an hour, or it can be Dave alone for long periods of time, kind of stuck in this world.
With regards to kind of the challenges and battles of isolation, that's one thing that so many people affected by, not just vision loss, but disability, experience all around the world. And actually, it doesn't matter whether you have a great network of a family support around you or not. You know, we all go through these moments where, due to the limitations of our disabilities, we struggle with isolation. And, you know, I have a really busy life, but at times that busyness could just be me in a room all day, stuck at home for days on end with the curtains shut, just working on my phone. And that balance, getting out there, is something that, you know, needs to be shown to the world for them to understand better.
At the time of recording, it's been on iPlayer for just over a week. What sort of feedback have you had so far?
The feedback has been incredible, you know, from people saying it's the most realistic, authentic, honest accounts of sight loss that they've ever seen on mainstream TV. I've had so many messages from people, you know, families, people within the sight loss community, people outside of the sight loss community. I had a lady reach out to me, a young family from down near, actually just outside where Matt lives, just outside of Brighton, who have a three-year-old son who was just diagnosed with RP in April. And they watched it and said that it was the first time since their young son's diagnosis that they've actually felt as if they've seen a representation that they can understand and something that they can relate to. They felt seen. So that in itself is really, really powerful. But yeah, there's so much more. And that's another one of the reasons why we want to get as many people as we can to experience it.
I mean, I'll just kind of echo what Dave said, really. I mean, I've had personal feedback. Oh, the film's great. You get feedback on the filmmaking, which is all great. But I think as a filmmaker, I'm just so invested in making the film, right? I want to make this as good as it can be. And you get to the end of that process, and then you suddenly start thinking about, okay, this is going out in the world. Okay, great. And I just wasn't really expecting to hear the feedback that we have from people who have similar conditions. And that's just meant, it's meant the world to us. It's the feedback where people have said, this has given me hope. It's made it all worth it.
And Matt, where can people see the film I'll Never See?
It's currently screening on BBC iPlayer.
Yeah, so just search Our Lives series on the BBC iPlayer. And then if you go into the episodes, you'll see one of the episodes there is the film I'll Never See, which is us.
And Dave, if someone wants to hear more about your poetry, how can they get in touch?
Go to my website, theblindpoet.net, or just look up The Blind Poet on Facebook and you'll find me. But yeah, always around. I wanted to show what it's really like to lose the last part of your sight. Showing the good, the bad, the full spectrum of how it really is. And seeing not just how I cope with it, but how my family deal with sight loss, blindness.
The film I'll Never See, in white lettering that's opaque and blurred in places.
Our Lives, the film I'll Never See, is available on iPlayer with audio description now.